faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. It's Superman! Rocketed when a boy from the exploding planet Krypton, he grew to manhood here on Earth, whose yellow sun and lighter gravity gave him fantastic superpowers. Living in the city of Metropolis, he poses as mild television and newspaper newsman Clark Kent, but battles against evil all over the Earth and far beyond as Superman. Superman and the Conqueror from the Past. From stories by Bob Rosakis and Paul Kupperberg. In the newsroom at the studios of GBS Television in Metropolis, it is precisely 9:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Josh Coyle, the director of the evening news broadcast, is amazed.
Hey, it can't be true. Somebody pinch me or call the special effects department or something.
What's the matter, Josh?
Over there. Clark Kent in the studio and early.
I don't believe it.
Hi. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening? You give me a heart attack for being on time for once, and all you can say is, good evening?
Sorry, Josh. I was just making sure that the remote satellite hookup direct from Egypt was ready for the broadcast.
It's ready, Clark.
Great. At least that's one less thing to make my ulcers start up. Okay, let's see how our star lady correspondent is enjoying the desert climate. Provided this blasted hookup works.
On the monitor screen, they see the lovely face of ACE News reporter Lana Lang. She is speaking from Egypt.
Hi, Josh. Everything's going smooth as glass this end.
Great. Just try something, Lana.
Okay. This is Lana Lang coming to you direct from Giza, Egypt.
Good, good, good.
Hey, do as the man says, Josh, and relax. You sound a nervous wreck. Look, the equipment's working like a charm. The heads of the nations participating in the Great Peace Conference are all waiting to start, and...
Sure, okay. If nothing goes wrong, you've got 10 minutes. Clark will introduce the story about the peace conference from here in the studio, and then it will be over to you in Egypt direct. Got it?
Got it, boss man. I'll start on the straightforward report of the conference and go for my interview with the president, and then... What the...
Lana? Lana! Don't tell me we've lost sound.
No, Josh, but look!
And Josh Coyle, Clark Kent, and everyone in the studio looks. On the TV monitor, they see the most startling vision appear in the sky just above the gathered heads of state. A menacing, bizarre figure of a man hovers there. He is dressed in a suit of gold-plated armor with a purple cloak in the style the Macedonian warriors wore 2,000 years back in history. Meanwhile, back in the studio in Metropolis...
Hey, Josh, what a story! Shall I get it on video?
Hell no! We're going to break into the scheduled program that's going out now. Whoever that clown is, dressed up in the sky, has just appointed himself news. Hot, hot news! Get it on now! Break in as fast as possible!
Working on it, Josh. I'll have this on the air in 30 seconds.
You hear that, Clark? It's your cue to get in front of that camera, tell the viewers what's happening, and at least act like you know what's going on. Clark? Clark! No, not now. He can't disappear now. Oh, my aching ulcers. Clark!
But Clark hadn't exactly disappeared. Rather, he has simply chosen to get into another room and change into his Superman outfit.
Hate to leave Josh in the lurch like this, but tonight's news broadcast is going to have to do without the services of Clark Kent.
Don't do this to me, Clark, baby. I need you desperately. Please, Clark.
And through an open window, Superman streaks into the blue of the sky.
Josh can get someone else to anchor that broadcast, but judging by what I saw on that screen, what is happening in Egypt at this moment is a job for Superman. With the leaders of 8 countries there, I can't take any chances.
Within minutes, he lands in Giza, Egypt, where Lana Lang runs to greet him.
Superman, say something!
Superman, you really cut it close this time.
I got here as fast as I could, Lana. Say, what's going on?
This guy in the purple cloak and all the armor? He's another Superman. He's bananas.
How do you mean, Lana?
How do I mean? I mean that in another few minutes, there are going to be a whole bunch of countries needing early elections. Look at him over there. He's got all the 8 leaders encased in a transparent sort of cage, like a great glass box. He's mad, mad.
You're right, Lana. Great rail!
I hear you, Superman, and warn you. In my presence, mention no power above my own. For from this day hence, there will be no greater power than mine. Mine is the power of the Planeteer. Form reincarnate of Alexander the Great. I have returned to this earth to reclaim that which is mine as the son of Philip, king of Macedonia. God on earth for all of Egypt, conqueror of Persia, Egypt, Babylon, Asia Minor, and the rest of the known world. And the 8 so-called leaders here, usurpers to my domain, are needed no longer.
This has gone far enough, Planeteer. These people are here to negotiate for world unity. Through talk, not through conquest.
Then they shall be disappointed. Once did I conquer this world and rule over it, and so shall it be once again.
Alexander the Great lived over 23 centuries ago. Even if you are him, you've come back to a different world than it was then.
Is as always, so-called Superman. The Earth belongs to him who can make it his own.
And you are not that man. Release those people now, or...
Or what, Superman? I am Alexander the Planeteer. However, do not think me unfair. My prisoners may go if you are able to free them.
Thanks for nothing. I'll release these people. Then it's your turn, Planeteer.
And from the television screen, the world bears witness to the incredible happenings there in Egypt. Superman approaches the great transparent cage which contains the world leaders. And with his superhuman strength, prepares to punch an escape hole in the side.
Stand back while I...
He punches. Nothing happens. He punches again. With no effect. Inside the cage, the leaders look aghast.
So, Mr. President, this is how your famous Man of Steel acts in the crisis.
Hardly, Mr. Premier. Superman hasn't let the good people of the world down yet, and by golly, he's not about to start now.
I appreciate your vote of confidence, sir. I only hope I'm up to it. That is no ordinary force field that the Planeteer is using to keep these people inside. My blow wasn't even able to touch the surface, as if my fists were being repelled by some force. Anyhow, here we go again. Just try a little harder. Hey, that hurt. I felt that. That's what I get for underestimating this would-be conqueror.
So you doubt my might, foolish mortal? Then come and taste my wrath.
I'm not impressed, Planeteer. I may not be able to crack your force field cage, but there's nothing to prevent me from attacking the cause of the trouble direct. I'm coming to get you, Planeteer. I was right. The Planeteer may be a genius with force fields, but he's obviously mad, and his insanity made him overconfident. He never thought to wear a protective shield.
The Planeteer has fallen to the earth and lays knocked out cold in the hot desert sand.
Stay back, everybody. He's only stunned. And until the world leaders are freed, he is still dangerous.
God, unbelievable footage.
Great.
He got up even after being hit by Superman.
Your world conquest ends here, Planeteer.
And to everyone's astonishment, the Planeteer staggers to his feet.
You talk nonsense, so-called Man of Steel. Do you truly believe your puny efforts can vanquish the son of Philip?
You need help, friend. Let me take you somewhere where they can look after you and...
Impudent peasant! No one has ever addressed me before in such a manner and escaped the sting of my power supreme.
Now Superman is trapped in the grip of an almighty force. He is lifted high in the air and then brought down to the ground at the feet of his adversary.
You must learn, O son of Krypton, that I am not to be dismissed. As you lie there, trapped in my power, I could slay you, Superman, but I am not without mercy. You shall live, but you shall know and acknowledge that it is the Planeteer who is your master.
Superman does not know if the mad Planeteer is capable of killing him and does not intend to give him a chance to try. He decides to take him by surprise by using his heat vision on the metal armor. But to no avail. The Planeteer's power is able to repel Superman's heat blast.
Still you fight on, eh, alien? I am impressed, and much do I admire your courage. Though your puerile persistence in denying that which is inevitable begins to irritate me.
And again, Superman is trapped in that mighty force, which leaves him unable to move.
Heed me, people on Earth. Thus have I vanquished your mighty champion. So too shall I banish these so-called leaders who are pretenders to my throne. I shall rule the world in a manner fair and just. But so too will I rain destruction upon those who resist me. Surrender now, and you shall live in peace and contentment. Resist and die!
And before a bemused and frightened world, Superman is powerless. Until he knows what force field the Planeteer is employing, he can do nothing. With his supervision, he can see the energy waves in microscopic detail, in magnetic monopole particles unlike anything he has ever seen before. He knows, too, that one unplanned move by him could prove to be a fatal experiment. The Planeteer looks at him and sneers.
I tire of this childish play, so I shall take my leave of this place and take your leaders with me. I do not like your impudent manner, Superman. So heed what I say, or should you forget it, it will be your final act of defiance. I shall free you now as a vanquished foe, and when next we meet, it will be with you on bended knee, or with a bowed head, or I will have that head upon the end of my sword.
Great Rail, no! He's vanishing into the sky with the world leaders. And even my supervision is unable to track them.
And as one, the witnesses at Giza gasp, as do television viewers across the globe. Superman has failed them. They have seen Earth's mightiest hero humbled before their eyes. Newsmen throughout the world make comment.
Following his defeat, Superman flew off declining to answer questions, leaving
the
all to speculate
of the Planeteer,
on the fate of our
the
world
alleged
leaders.
Reincarnation of Alexander the Great is still a mystery. Meanwhile, one must ask, has Superman deserted the fray?
And while the world is wondering, Superman is searching. Meanwhile, outside a deserted factory not too far from Metropolis itself, Cub reporter Jimmy Olsen hides and waits.
This is getting boring, sitting here alone. Watching this place? I mean, it's supposed to be a working industrial plant, but I haven't seen anybody go in or come out in almost 14 hours. Still, my informant told me there is something fishy going on here, and Mark Olson's boy Jimmy can sniff out a big story from a mile away. Only thing is, if I can't find out what is fishy here, I haven't got a story. But short of being able to look through the walls, I'm stuck. Of course, there's nothing to stop me from getting a little help from somebody who can do just that.
A hidden switch is depressed on the young reporter's wristwatch with seemingly no effect. But effect there is for those like Superman, whose hearing is attuned to the special super high frequency wave emitted by Jimmy Olsen's watch.
I know, that's Jimmy's signal. I shouldn't really abandon my search for the Planeteer and his captives, but he wouldn't signal me if there wasn't an emergency.
And within minutes, Superman is beside Jimmy in the factory grounds.
Hi, Jimmy. You signaled?
Superman! Am I glad to see you?
What's the trouble?
The trouble is that I'm sitting on a hot story, and I can't get at it for love or money. Something decidedly peculiar is going on in that factory, but it's shut up tighter than a drum.
Is that what you called me for? Look, I don't know what is going on in there, Jimmy, and I don't care. It can't possibly rate with what's been going on elsewhere for the past several hours, don't you understand?
Sorry, Superman. Look, I've been squatting in these blasted bushes for half the day. How do I know what's been going on elsewhere? I figured you might want to give a friend a helping hand, or in this case, a helping eye.
All right, Jimmy, you've made your point. I shouldn't have snapped at you, but I've been wrapped up in a case.
Yeah, well, that's okay, Superman. I should have realized that you've got more important things to do.
Hold it, Jimmy. I think I really do owe you an apology.
How do you mean?
Well, from the look of the logo on the front of the building, I'd say this factory might just get us both what we want. You'll have your front page story, and I'll get the Planeteer.
The who? Hey, where are you going? And who the heck is a Planeteer?
And before there is a chance to answer his question, Jimmy sees Superman head straight into the factory wall and hit it with all his strength.
This is too much of a coincidence to pass up. This company's logo is an exact replica of the insignia the Planeteer wears in his armor. That means there is more than a chance that I'll find the Planeteer inside this place and... Great Rail!
And there, shambling towards him, is a great gray dirt-color monster of a creature with huge head sunk into shapeless, massive body. Behind the horrifying figure, Superman can see two of the captive world leaders trapped inside the transparent cage, and a large, weird-shaped piece of machinery which dominates the factory floor. Still, the monster shambles forward as if to protect its charges, both human and mechanical, from Superman the intruder. And even before Superman turns his super senses on this hulking creature, he knows what he will find. That this is not a living thing.
The creature is composed entirely of common dirt. But how it's being held together and animated is a completely different question. Too bad I can't stop to analyze what makes it tick. But first things first. Get back, Gruesome! That's better. Sorry, there's no time to spar around. You're somewhat disappointing anyway. After my bout with the Planeteer in Giza, I expected better. Great Rayo!
Again, Superman is taken by surprise. The great monster, only a form of dirt in shape, starts to move at an incredible speed.
Here we go, Gruesome.
The shape literally explodes into a maelstrom of earthen madness, showering the Man of Steel with a thick blanket of dirt. And he will not let go of him. He is covered.
The density of this dirt is incredible. Each clump weighs thousands of pounds, and they're getting heavier every second. But I'm here to free these captive people, and super heavy dirt or not, nothing is going to stop me.
And nothing does. With one great supreme blow, he cracks open the cage holding the two captives.
You've got to get out of here fast. If you're caught in this dirt storm, you might...
Excuse the interruption, Superman, but such has already happened.
We can't move. The dirt around our feet has hardened like a concrete.
It's even harder than that. Its mass is so great it's beginning to weigh even me down. This dirt is so heavy it's resisting even my heat vision's attempt to burn it away. Even my super breath has no effect on it. It is as if the dirt is somehow attracted to me by... Of course. That machine over there... I've been so intent on rescuing these people, I didn't bother to give this magnificent device the attention it deserves. I should have realized the only force that can give me this much trouble is supermagnetism. That gives me some answer to the mystery of the Planeteer's powers. But that information won't do me any good when I'm wrapped up like a cocoon in this earth. That electromagnet machine has got to go. And that takes care of that.
As the great magnet disintegrates, so its energy ceases,
and the dirt creature and the force field cage holding the captives falls apart. Jimmy rushes in from outside to join them, only to find...
Superman! Hey, Superman, that was far out! I only just caught the end of your act, and I don't know why the leaders from two major powers should be here either. Hey, Superman! Where did he go? I guess this is a big story. Why don't you fill me in with what's going on?
And somewhere in an unknown place, the Planeteer is saying...
Thus ends the first phase.
But seconds later, and many thousands of miles north, Superman is in his Fortress of Solitude.
Jimmy will see to it that these two leaders get taken off while I attend to some business here. Now, if I analyze that device correctly, the Planeteer has found a way to draw tremendous amounts of magnetic waves from the Earth's magnetic field. This should make him and the location of his prisoners easy to find, provided I take along the right tool for the job.
Superman adjusts his electronic compass to pick up on the concentrated magnetic waves of the Planeteer's device.
And now I've got a date with a certain would-be world conqueror, and I don't intend to miss it for anything.
And Superman is away. Up, up into the sky, circling the globe a dozen times in as many seconds until he is over the North Sea.
There's a strong magnetic field nearby, and I'm betting the answer is straight down.
On the ocean floor. Yes, right on target. There are two more kidnapped leaders in a magnetic force field cage at the bottom. But I don't like something here. Why is the Planeteer separating his captives in this way? And knowing I was coming after them, why did he make that last cage so much weaker than the one he used the first time at Giza? And there doesn't seem to be a monstrous guardian around either. Let's get these people to safety before something decides to put in an appearance.